Well, fall is the time when people start shutting down their gardens, and maybe you have quit your garden much, much earlier. There are some people that garden from Memorial Day to Labor Day, and that is it. However, you may be in containers as well, and we'll talk about how you can build your soil for spring in that instance. But raised beds and traditional ground are platforms in which many of us garden, and the soil does get depleted of nutrients. As we grow, we plant, the plant uses up what's in the soil, and we have to revitalize that soil in order to have a successful garden the following year. We cannot just continue to grow each year in the same soil and expect the same or better results.
So one major thing you can do for your garden is add leaves to it. Leaves are amazing. They're free, basically.
What's that? They're what?
They're free. You can collect them. I don't know if you want to say collect.
Yeah.
You can collect them, and you can put them on your garden. We've gone so far as to grab leaves from down the road.
Half a block on each side of the house.
Yeah. But if you do that, you do want to be aware of what you're grabbing. Sometimes people put other yard debris in that pile. So if you see something that is not leaves, you may want to leave it. Don't leave a huge mess if your neighbors have worked hard to put them in the road and you grab the leaves and then you trail them all over the place. Be respectful and kind.
And
leaves are nice because they break down. They feed your soil. They're organic matter. The worms love them. So there's many benefits to taking those leaves that are free and in overabundance in most areas and adding them to your soil.
Now, the application of putting the leaves on the garden can be as simple as just dumping them on the garden. However, there are some varieties, such as oak leaves, that are very large and very thick that will mat down. Now, if we're just covering the garden in the fall and we'll bring and rake back the leaves as we plant in the spring and use those leaves as a living mulch in the spring, not really necessarily a bad thing. Now, if you want to mulch them, you can, and that will allow the breakdown process to be much quicker because the particle size is smaller. And the worms and the microbial life will be able to bring it and eat it up quicker.
And when you layer those leaves, yeah, they can get moldy and...
Well, they're not moldy, but just matted.
Matted, yeah. And so that's one thing. It's kind of... Oak trees are kind of interesting trees. They're hard to grow, and then they also are... Their leaves are very tough, but that's okay. So you want to add your leaves. Now you can add your own compost or organic matter. If you've been composting all summer and you want to add that, you certainly can. You can just put it on top or spade it in, whatever you want to do.
One thing you want to be aware of is if you're composting in a hot compost method, which means the temperature is getting hot enough, 170 degrees for 72 consecutive hours to kill the viability of the seeds in which are in that compost pile, you'll have no issue applying that to your garden. Now, if you're composting in a cold method or a method in which the core temperature doesn't get to that high level in order to kill the seeds, and you broadcast that compost even in a completed form on your garden, seeds of weeds and other plant matter will be viable, and you can introduce a gaggle of weed seeds that you will have to deal with come spring.
Yeah.
With that, if you do have compost that is not completely heated to that, we utilize that in the bottom of containers, giant grow bags. If we're planting potatoes, we'll put it at the bottom of the pit or the furrow of where the potatoes is to smother that soil.
Right now it's not helpful. So if you have hot compost that has killed the weed seeds, you should definitely use that. If you don't, then you probably don't want to. Otherwise, you might be fighting a bigger problem come next spring.
Soil testing. If we don't know how good our soil is, we cannot. There are certain signs in which a plant will identify that there is a deficiency or a surplus of a certain nutrient. However, we cannot just look at soil and go, that's a pH of this, that has high nitrogen. We have to get a soil test.
Especially, I've had a lot of people say, you know, I just bought a house. I'm not going to garden this year, but I want to garden next year. What should I do now? One thing is definitely getting a soil test. If you don't want to get a soil test or you know the previous homeowner may have done some questionable things to that soil, then definitely think about investing in something like raised beds or containers. But definitely you want to plan ahead for a soil test. And Soil Savvy is soilsavvy.com.
MySoilSavvy.com.
MySoilSavvy.com. And they have a coupon code.
TWVG19. You get 10% off your purchase. and they send you the product, the device in which you put the samples of soil in. You send it to their laboratory. They will email you a 14-point analyzation email indicating surpluses, deficiencies, and how and what you should do in order to get your soil to where you need it to be in order to have healthy soil, in order to have
good
vegetables.
It's a very comprehensive test.
For a very low cost.
Right, definitely. Another thing you can do is cover soil. What's cover soil?
Cover the soil. We spoke heavily about it last week on our second segment about the coverage of the soil to prevent erosion, soil damage, even not necessarily over the winter, but when a crop is not growing there. You look at nature, there are not anywhere in nature where soil is bare. There is some type of vegetation that is growing or some material that is covering that soil in order to protect the microbial life, the soil web, the worms, all of that. It doesn't stay exposed. Man has allowed that to occur in the agricultural world, or in our instance, the gardening world. We leave the soil exposed, which can get the soil, can get sunburn. It can erode from wind, rain, and other aspects of the environment. So we want to cover our soil, and there's several different ways in which we can do that by the leaves, straw, cover crops,
of a variety of crops.
Yeah, let's talk about cover crops.
So cover crops are what you do is you plant them. You don't grow your crops into
a mature state.
You just grow them, and then what you do is you mow it down and let that organic material lay on the soil, and then it's going to break down. The nice thing about cover crops is if you have an area that might be susceptible to erosion, it's going to help prevent erosion in that area. So you can use a cover crop for that. It's more prominent with big agricultural farming, but it's something you can definitely do if you have a larger grow area or backyard.
And that's the other thing. Can we till the soil? Well, people religiously till the soil several times a year, sometimes spring and fall. However, we don't recommend it, but if you choose to till or agitate the soil in the fall, you can do that, a rough till or a rough spade. Now this will, and then you cover it with a cover, with a mulch of some sort, a straw, grass clippings, leaves, in order to hold the erosion amount at a very low minimal. There would be no erosion there. The reason why, if you do this, you want to do it a rough till, you don't want to do a fine tilt, is so when it rains, the water doesn't run off. It will absorb into your garden soil and will continue to hydrate the soil and the soil web.
Or even the snow as it melts.
Yes.
So we've talked about a lot of do's. Let's talk about a do not.
Okay.
Do not fertilize your soil now. That even if you use a slow-release fertilizer, by the time spring comes, you're just wasting your money. You might as well take your fertilizer and dump it out or throw your money in the trash.
Slow-release fertilizers are effective 6, 8, maybe 10 weeks at maximum. Now, you can add aged manure based on the origins of the manure and what type it is and how long it's been. You can work that in the soil or lay it on top and let the water work it into the soil and the microbial life. You can put that on top of your soil or the compost on top of the soil. Put your leaves on top of that and just walk away until spring, and you'll be amazed at how much that has worked itself naturally into the top layers of your garden. Now, quickly, let's talk about containers. If you're in a container of 30 gallons or less, the industry says you should dump all that compost out or all that potting soil out and start over. Well, we understand that that is money, that it costs quite a bit.
Right.
So anything smaller than a 30-gallon, anything smaller than, let's say, 30 gallons or less, yeah, you can dump that soil out and start over. Anything more than a 30-gallon grow bag or pot, just remove about 50% of the top 50%, top half, and then add new soil and add fertilizer at the time of planting, and you'll be good for another year. Like a 5-gallon bucket, dump that out because that nutrient has been used up. But a larger container,
if you're going like a 60-gallon tomato or a couple of peppers, you definitely want to. They are heavy feeders, or even squash or something.
Yeah, 60-gallon grow bag, 40-gallon grow bag, 100-gallon grow bag. Just take about half of that out and reutilize that. So that is how you can start building your soil now for spring.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.